I thought you were a bossy, like, older sister when we were little, for sure. Mm-hmm. I definitely feel like you were also really nice to me. You weren't just, like, mean and controlling. You were you were really nice to me at the same time, too. And I feel
good.
We laughed and we had a lot of fun.
Yeah, we did have a lot of fun.
You were a benevolent dictator,
exactly.
Tracy.
Exactly. I let you have food.
And then you got nice. You got really nice to me as a sibling when you were, like, in, like, fourth grade.
In fourth grade, when friends at school pointed out how mean I was when we moved to the new school.
Oh, yeah, we changed cities.
Right, and then I realized that if I wanted to have friends, that I needed to stop being so mean and bossy. And so then I started to become nice, which extended to being nice to you.
I really like those people at school who told you that. But, you know, and when I think about us as siblings, you know, we really got along, and that was something I thought as a child, at least, and even when I was a teenager, I thought this was, like, a very inherent thing that all siblings got along, because even when I went over to other people's houses, I saw that, oh, people just basically got along, but I didn't realize until we were older that we were actually friends as well as siblings who got along, and that that was actually not as common as I thought. Have you had that same experience kind of in talking to other people about their siblings?
Yeah, I think I noticed that in high school, actually, because I would do things for you, like drive you and your friends around. Mm-hmm. Like, remember we went toilet papering somebody's house and I agreed to, like, go buy you toilet paper or, you know, things like that. And I would tell my friends about what we did. They would say, gosh, why are you so nice to your sister?
Yeah, people would always say that. I would, like, all my friends would be like, wow, your sister is the nicest sibling, because we could never get anybody else to drive us around. And I will say, after you did the toilet papering thing, you officially went in the book as everybody's favorite cooler older sister.
Yes.
Like, all my friends wanted to have you as a sister. Like, oh my gosh, can't believe your sister took us toilet papering. I was like, I don't know, she's maybe being a bad influence to make her cool. I'm not quite sure which one it is, but I'll take the cool.
Yeah, but I kind of thought, well, of course I would do it for her, just like I would do something like that for my friends. And I guess that's when I started to realize not everybody who had a sibling wanted to be friends with their sibling. And that's kind of when I first got a hint of that, you know, that difference in our relationship compared to my friends and their siblings.
So today is National, like, Sibling Day. And I think would you mind if we kind of acknowledge how it's not, as we're saying, not everybody is great with their siblings. Not everybody wants to, like, send a card to their siblings. And these kind of holidays are difficult for for some people, either people who don't have siblings and maybe, you know, have feelings around that, or people who have lost siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were sort of sharing a little story with me earlier today about someone who was mentioning that.
Yeah. So I have a son. And since he was born, I've been pregnant three times, but I've lost all three pregnancies. And so I'm a part of a Facebook group about for parents who have lost children, either during pregnancy or, you know, in infancy, like after they were born, or maybe even after, you know, after a while. But anyway, so one of the moms on the Facebook group just posted, "I really hate Sibling Day" on Facebook. And yeah, I think that's hard because, like, one time I was at the park with my son and pushing him on the swing, and there was another parent with his child, and, you know, and we're just making small talk, and he had two kids, and he said to me, like, you know, he was trying to be funny, and he made the comment, like, oh, I see you didn't make the mistake of going for a second one, ha ha ha, right? Kind of comment, like, oh, because he had this newborn and then the toddler, and oh, it was so hard to take care of both of them, you know, and I just thought, well, I could just let this pass, but I don't, for whatever reason in that moment, I just said, well, actually, I've lost three, and, you know, and that he just, you know, got real quiet and didn't really say anything, but you know, people assume because you've had one child that you can have another.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, maybe I could have another, but I don't know. Maybe I will. Who knows? But, you know, right now I don't have another.
Yeah.
And I would like a sibling for my son. That would be nice. I mean, because I love you and I love having you as a sibling, and I would like for my son to have that experience. But I think people forget you know, what you can't see is easy to forget.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's like if you could, so I feel like, you know, this is something that I wasn't really aware of in terms of people losing, you know, and having miscarriages.
Right.
You know, this is something that we don't really talk about generally in our society. And so it seems like it's something that's really uncommon, you know, but now, especially now that we're like both in our late 30s, mm-hmm. this is something I've come to see is actually quite, I don't want to say common, but a lot more common than our cultural narrative tells us that it right. happens, right? And I think there's more people starting to talk about it, especially because the internet, there's like a lot more like Facebook groups and mm-hmm. stuff. And so, yeah, I've kind of wondered like how that's been for you, you know, in trying to, I don't know, as a sibling, honestly, it's like, I know that that's such a painful part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, I don't want, you know, I want to talk to you about it, but I also don't want to be pressing something that's difficult upon you. And so, I don't know. And then always, like, as a sibling, I don't want to be like, well, I'm so great. Like, why don't you have cancer? You know, oh, good for you. You're trying to create me. Yay. Yeah. I don't know. So I've always kind of wondered. So thanks for sharing. I've always kind of wondered about, like, what that's like for you in these last few years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of, like, maybe thinking about what it is to maybe have a son that might be an only child.
Right.
Or what that experience is like for him and how you relate to that
mm-hmm.
now as a mom who had a sibling and wants to be giving a sibling to your child.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. So many thoughts. But I'm happy to share because I know I'm not the only one. And, you know, it helps me to hear about other people's stories. So I'm happy to share my story.
Well, let's give a little bit more back to what our experience as siblings have been. So there was the phase of our childhood where we got along, but I didn't realize Tracy was a dictator, but we got along. And now as adults, you know, I feel like there was definitely a benefit, siblings as
yeah.
children. We had lots of, you know, memories at home. You always had someone to play with sort of situation.
Right.
But now as an adult, I kind of wonder, maybe this is me trying to attempt to be like, hey, how great am I, Trace? but do you feel, you know, that the kind of benefit of having a sibling has uh-huh. extended beyond just your childhood? Because we tend to think of siblings as
right.
as a childhood thing. So now what is, I don't know, we only have a few more minutes here left, but what is siblingness now to you as an adult?
Oh, gosh. Well, I think how we were talking before about how, you know, we're very close and we're friends, that I think that's the benefit, is I just have like this really great friend who happened to live with me for a really long time, and, you know, we did everything together. And so, you know, so even friends that we saw all the time, it's not the same as having lived with them every day for years and years and then sharing parents and all those experiences. So I think it's just having this really special relationship, and then you know, that I can say something to you, or even just one word, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it's just fun.
I know.
How about you?
I feel like as we've gotten older, it's been interesting because you definitely felt like my older sister to me, like when we were little. Oh, we have my nephew. Tristan's actually in the room right now. But yeah, I felt like, you know, when we were little, it was just like really exciting and fun. But like now mm-hmm. as adults, I have this, I know, such an appreciation for that relationship when we were younger. But now also, I think I guess a lot about our parents, since, you know, that's how we're tied,
right?
as our parents. And I'm really glad to have somebody next to me, you know, in life that understands my parents
right.
as well. And like, especially as we're seeing them age,
yeah,
I'm seeing like, oh, like the benefits outside of, you know, us getting along emotionally and stuff like that, but just what it is to start entering that phase of our lives where we're going to start caring for our parents.
Right.
I'm like, oh, wow, this is really overwhelming as a single child. I bet I could do it, but it's definitely nice to have somebody to talk to about the frustration.
Right.
That, like, no, like you're saying, the one word where you just be like, oh, dad doing the thing. And I don't have to explain it to you while everybody else, I have to explain it. So that, and just kind of like knowing that that like future journey is right. going to be shared with somebody is really nice. And I will say in our adulthood, something that has happened only recently is mm-hmm. me moving to Portland.
Oh, yes.
And so because during our 20s and when you were in college, when I was in college, we were living on different coasts.
Right.
And even though we were like so close growing up, it was really strange to have you then suddenly like go away. Mm-hmm. And so then when you finally moved to a city that I was willing to live in as well, because you were living in Manhattan before and I wasn't going to do that. But when you moved to Portland, that was really exciting for me. And so it's been really nice to be neighbors.
Yeah, that's been super fun.
Yeah. And so kind of like getting to know you as an adult. You know, and what that's like. That's really interesting, too, because we have our sibling relationship, but then right. there's definitely, like, you, Tracy, as a human being.
Right.
Outside of just, like, me seeing you as somebody who, like, is going to run around in their underwear with me at home and stuff. It's like, oh, look at my sister having a grown-up job. Look at her. Driving a car and raising the child, like... Oh, right. I forget that you're an adult, too.
Yeah, I do those things, too.
What about for you? Is it, once again, you tell me how awesome I am. Is it awesome having a sibling neighbor? Is it different?
It is different because I don't live with you. I live near you. And it's the first time that I've lived near you since we lived together.
Yeah.
Right? As kids or in high school or whatever. And so, I don't know. It is strange that I can't just... I don't know, like, you're not there in the house, and then I don't want to just like come over whenever, because maybe you're doing something, because you do have a life outside of me.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, but you still want that, like, yeah, there's still that feeling of like, I should just go over there and,
right,
and just take that thing from her.
Exactly. Like, I need milk, I'm just gonna go to Jenna's house. But it's like, okay, but she might actually be busy. She might actually be doing something. But yeah, I don't know. It's been really nice and just getting to know you. Yeah, like you said, as an adult and doing adult things, not just like putting on our own shows at home for our parents.
Or when, you know, previously before living together, you know, a lot of times siblings only see each other is oftentimes during holidays when people are going home.
Right.
And so those were the times we were always seeing each other and we were in that mutual shared space. And even though we spoke a lot on the phone, I will say that it does feel different. I feel like I've gotten to know you better by living in a city again together, and we see each other quite frequently.
That's true, yeah, and doing normal things going grocery shopping together or...
Yeah, just like meeting up in the park and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And just like, hey, let's just eat dinner right now, you know, as opposed to it
like
being,
it's always special.
Yeah. Although, although now that's what's
not
different.
Not that it's not special when I see you.
I was about
to
say, like, before when we saw each other, we always had a gift.
Right.
And now there's not gifts every single time, but now it's the gift of seeing each other, I guess.
Now we don't take pictures together anymore because it's not special.
Yeah, yeah, okay. That is one thing I will say that is the downfall. When I realized that I went to go share pictures of you with somebody who's like, oh, I realized I had no pictures of each other. But I'm like, if I'm always hanging out with her, but I always have pictures of people who it's a special occasion.
Right, yeah.
So there's some sibling advice that we can give out for people.
Yes, definitely.
Is that
take
just
pictures.
Take pictures, even though you live near each other.
Because every day is special.
Every day is special with siblings. Something like that. Well, thank you very much to Tracy, my older sibling.
Wiser,
yeah. But apparently because I was born not as smart as you could be and not as mature as you could be, but you're going to live longer, less smart and less mature as a result of me. But hey, so there you go. So thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks
and for anchoring
me.
Today on Sibling Day and for joining me here on News in Depth. And so, we'll have you in on another day at Sibling Day, and we'll see what other crazy dictator Tracy ideas you have come up with in life.
Hey, this is LeVar Howard over here at OSP. And I'm a part of the Yahoo Salsa Cultural Club. And I just want to remind everybody, check us out April 10th, Prison Pipeline.
Hey, this is Harold. We held our annual talent show here at OSB. What you're going to hear is you're going to hear an eclectic sound of music. You're going to hear some acoustic. You're going to hear some rap. You're going to hear some fun times. You're going to hear some people do some things close to their heart. And you're going to hear some things to ride to and have a good time to. So it's going to be on Prison Pipeline, April 10th, 6:30 p.m.
Prototype. Prototype, call it the volume one, call it the overnight, call it what you want to call it. I can't call it wrong or right, man. It's on a tightness, a prototype testing, testing 1, 2, 3, man. I'm
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Radical Ecology Night, Thursday, April 13th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. Radical Ecology Night features a screening of the documentary film Weed Eater and a presentation by the Pollinator Collective called The Birds and the Bees, Why They Are Dying and What You Can Do to Help. Again, that's Radical Ecology Night, Thursday, April 13th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Worry, I won't hurt you. I only want you to have some fun.
Dearly beloved.
Be sure to tune in to KBOO Community Radio on Thursday, April 20th, just before midnight. We'll be celebrating the life and music of Prince Rogers Nelson, the one and only Mighty Purple One, right here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland. And don't forget, come ride with Diablo on Prince's birthday. More information on the KBOO website under Community Events. Rest in peace.